The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, 30 Years of Strength and an Ongoing Fight. 30 years after Ray Lewis Thornton became the face of HIV, the disease remains a major threat to Black women. The activist, along with public health experts, explores what fuels the epidemic. Ray Lewis Thornton was diagnosed with HIV when she was 24. The year was 1987, a time when the epidemic was accelerating at an alarming rate. 2 years prior, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has found that 51% of adults and 59% of children whose HIV had progressed to AIDS were dying of the illness, often within 15 months after learning that they had the disease. In 1994, the 32-year-old Lewis Thornton appeared stoically on Essence's groundbreaking December cover, boldly declaring that she was facing AIDS. In her interview with Teresa Wiltz, she shared how an attempt to donate blood led to discovering she had HIV, which by 1992 had become full-blown AIDS. An educated, accomplished Black professional from Chicago who had survived an abusive childhood and seen the picture of health, she stated simply, "I am dying." These days, she refuses to allow her diagnosis to hinder her joy. "The diagnosis does not define me. I'm so much more than that," Carter says. "I am a bright, beautiful, colorful human being. It's taken a long time for me to say that, not from a place of ego or pride, but knowing that all of what tried to break me down has only built me up." Lewis Thornton also spent years doing the work processing the trauma that she experienced at the same time as she made her efforts as an HIV activist. Today, with Black women still at a disproportionately high risk of becoming infected, she says that her work is far from over. As she continues to fight for her life, Lewis Thornton reflects that her decision to speak out 30 years ago was just the beginning. "I still do the work because my life is my ministry," she says. "Susan Taylor heard me speak for 3 minutes, and she called me 2 weeks later and asked me to be on the cover of the magazine. I said, 'Why would you choose me? I am a nobody.' She replied, 'I believe you have a story to tell. She saw something in me, and I appreciate that. We did what we did back then, and it was a good thing. But it's not over yet, because people are still dying from AIDS, and most of them are Black people." Please be aware, this next article covers very mature topics. The next article is titled, Rewriting the Rules of Desire. Since the 1970s, Essence magazine has inspired Black women to talk about sex. Now we are doing even more by reclaiming pleasure and redefining sexuality on our own terms. Essence has long been attuned to what Black women want and need, especially when it comes to conversations about sex. As early as February 1978, in our on love issue, we featured a thought-provoking quiz to help readers explore what sex meant to them. In February 1980, the Here's to Love issue included Rosemary L. Bray's groundbreaking piece, Orgasm, The Ultimate Pleasure. This demystified Big O and offered tips. And in July 1993, Haiti Gossett's Sex at Any Age boldly asserted that erotic desire has no age limit. In addition to groundbreaking articles about sex and sexual wellness, we have had informational sex columns educating our readers and inspiring them to think creatively in the bedroom and beyond. Hilda Hutcherson, MD's Sexual Matters column in the early aughts was one of these, and we would be remiss not to acknowledge our very own trailblazer in this space, the late Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, PhD, her Between Us column, which she penned for more than 25 years, allowed our readers to be open, transparent, and vulnerable with their sex, intimacy, and relationship questions. Throughout the 1970s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, Essence remained committed to empowering conversations about sex, and that legacy continues today. When I launched our Sex Talk Now, Let's Talk About Sex series online in 2023, the goal was to offer fresh, relevant, and actionable advice that challenged norms and encouraged Black women to embrace their sexuality unapologetically. In the column, I've covered BDSM techniques, debunked soul ties myths, and explored how women can experience pleasure within relationships and, more importantly, for themselves. This echoes the spirit of Essence's May 2001 passion issue, which spotlighted Black women reclaiming sex and pleasure with joy. One standout piece from that issue, Porno Knowledge by Michelle Burford, encouraged spiritual women to find peace with their sexual selves. It included prophetess Juanita Bynum's testimony about overcoming sexual obsessions, ultimately highlighting the radical notion of God-given sexuality. This was a bold concept, especially for Christian Black women. It was a shift. Shamira Howard, a licensed clinical social worker, sexologist, therapist, and Essence subscriber, remembers that shift well. As a longtime reader, I saw the 2001 Passion issue as a turning point, she says. It permitted us to explore the sensual and the sacred. Back then, Essence tiptoed into sex with elegance and restraint. Now we walk in boldly with language that mirrors how Black women live and love today. We are no longer asking for permission to talk about sex. We are teaching the class. It was also a sign of growth as someone who grew up flipping through Essence with curiosity and reverence, Howard says. I've watched it evolve from confidence to full-on sexual liberation. In the early 2000s, the conversations were careful. The passion issue was revolutionary for its time, suggesting that Black women could enjoy sex, not just endure it. Back then, there were soft focus articles on seduction, on how to keep your man satisfied or rekindle romance after kids. But even then, there was a whisper of something more radical underneath, a desire to center our voices, not just our partner's needs. Over time, Howard says, the magazine's tone shifted from performance-based intimacy to deeper, more authentic discussions about pleasure, healing, and self-discovery. By the 2010s, we started seeing language around sexual trauma recovery and sex positivity, terms that would have never made it past editors 20 years before, she observes. Black women like me were talking openly about kink, orgasms, and the importance of body literacy. We weren't being lectured to anymore. We were being seen. Sharon R. Boone, who served as the senior health and features editor from 2002 to 2004, and the senior health and relationships editor from 2012 to 2014, says former editor-in-chief Diane Weathers, who was at the helm from 2000 to 2005, deserves credit for shaking up the magazine's sexual tone. I felt like she was more open to not being too staid, says Boone. One piece I edited was about things women need to know about the sexual health of men in their lives. The title was Master His Johnson, and the essence that I grew up reading wasn't quite as cheeky in that way. Boone remembers the magazine evolving even more during her second tenure, leaning into bolder, more adventurous sex coverage. There is this push and pull from readers who want Essence to present as the preeminent magazine for Black women. She reflects, it means so much to them. Quiet as it's kept, people also want more sexual information, yet they are like, not in my magazine that I read after church. But there is nothing wrong with information about improving your sex life. To me, there's no disconnect between those two things. Today, Howard notes, Essence is building on that early 2010s momentum by confidently centering Black women's sexual autonomy. You will find expert-led features on everything from products for menopause to intimacy-enhancing toys and self-pleasure guides, she says. It's not just about sex anymore. It's about sexual wellness and reclaiming pleasure that belongs to us. One of my favorite shifts has been the celebration and evolution of sexual wellness at the annual Essence Festival of Culture, Howard adds. At the 2024 event, for example, she saw the Let's Talk About Sex activation at Wellness House, where women could privately consult with a sex expert about strengthening their relationship with pleasure. We are seeing sexuality as something expansive, and this evolution mirrors our collective growth, she says. We have gone from how to please your man to how to reconnect with your own body. According to Nikki Coleman, a licensed psychologist and pleasure coach, Black women are more confidently owning their sexuality today, regardless of relationship status. We are increasingly thinking and talking about our sexuality, not just as something granted through our relationships, but as an inherent part of our wholeness, she says. More and more, I see us stepping into a place of agency, learning about our bodies, getting curious about what pleases us, and advocating for our needs to be met. We are naming that our pleasure matters. There is still work to be done, especially in a society that shames women over their number of sexual partners or body count. But Coleman believes we are making strides as a community. What's especially powerful is that these conversations are happening earlier in women's lives, she says. More Black women are starting therapy or coaching in their 20s rather than waiting until their 40s because they want to live whole, pleasure-filled lives now. I see that we are not willing to settle for less than pleasurable sex anymore. Candace Nicole Harguns, PhD, associate professor at Emory University and author of Good Sex, Stories, Science, and Strategies for Sexual Liberation, credits the 1970s for setting the stage. Even though sex has often been considered a taboo topic, the 1970s saw a trend in open and revolutionary conversations about sexual wellness and liberation. She notes, Essence was leading this work for a time in the 1970s with the late Dr. June Dobbs Butts' column, Our Sexual Health. Essence has a long-standing history of publishing Black feminist work to mass audiences, even if it didn't use that label. And talking about sex in healthy and meaningful ways is true Black feminism. As Black women and as a magazine, we are still actively rewriting the rules of desire and grounding them in the truth that our pleasure is worthy and deserving. No shame, no apologies. Here's the unconventional piece that's not being said enough. Black women aren't just evolving sexually. We are leading the evolution, Howard says. We are the therapists, the educators, the innovators, the influencers, and the disruptors in the room. We are the blueprint for bold sexual liberation. The data is finally catching up to what we've always known intuitively. We have come a long way and have a ways to go, but we have always had the fire. Now we're just fanning the flames with full permission, and Essence is still in the mix. The next article is titled, Our Sacred Assignment. Essence's editor-in-chief, Emerita, reprises her cherished column. The last time I published in the spirit, in Essence, was 2008. I never expected to return to the column that I began writing monthly in 1981 when I was promoted to editor-in-chief of the magazine. In the Spirit was a diary of sorts, a sanctuary for sharing life lessons, spiritual awakenings, and difficult issues, both personal and social, that I was wrestling with. It was also my way of connecting deeply heart to heart with sisters. Surprisingly, over time, our brothers grew to nearly 30% of our readership. My connection to us, to our people, gives me insight and strength. I continued writing in the spirit after I appointed the editors who succeeded me. Overseeing the magazine from a distance, I was able to sharpen my focus on the other Essence properties under my wing, from the televised Essence Awards to branded products to the festival. When ownership of Essence Communications, Inc. changed hands, tensions arose. Transitions in business, as in life, can be difficult. By the time 2007 rolled around, I was weary of the strained relationships at the company. But different winds had also been calling me since 2005, when Hurricane Katrina devastated the Gulf Coast and our beloved New Orleans. I knew it was time to move on. I'd learned so much over the decades. Given my all, I wanted to be boots on the ground, directly serving our children and communities in crisis. I had spent 37 years at Essence. It was a beautiful run. When Essence debuted in May of 1970, I was a cosmetologist and entrepreneur. I'd founded the first company to make custom blended foundation for black women, Nequa Cosmetics. Two beautiful black men, Abdul Rahim Sammy and Ron Lucas, told me about an open position in the new magazine's beauty department. Hurriedly, I made an appointment to interview with Ida Lewis, the magazine's editor-in-chief. She hired me later that year as a beauty writer. In 1971, 26-year-old Marcia Ann Gillespie rose to editor-in-chief and promoted me to fashion and beauty editor. It was such an exciting time. The Essence staff was young and ablaze with purpose. Fueled by fierce determination, we were building in the magnificent light of the Black Power movement that was illuminating a path forward for African Americans. Everything was transformed, from how we embraced our history and motherland to how we were taking on new roles in public and corporate life, and from expanding the ways we worshiped to seeing the breadth of our beauty and style on magnificent display. Rarely do we grasp the magnitude of the moment in which we were living, how we are bending history, shaping an unseen future. But we were propelled by mutuality and respect, by rigorous thought and boundless curiosity, by a deep and abiding commitment to the women we served, and the steadfast embrace and support of our readers. These are the values that kept us rising and ensured Essence Communications, which after more than a half a century lives on securely and is again black owned. When I was appointed editor-in-chief, I stepped onto a landscape that had been carefully cultivated, brilliant, fearless, and precise. Marcia Ann Gillespie, a student of history, insistent we celebrate legacy and elevate our stories boldly and with integrity. We were planting flowers in soil long ago, made rich by the deep-rooted wisdom and hope of our foreparents, soil still warm with struggle. Today, the Essence brand is a constellation of offerings, from the iconic magazine to the beloved festival to the powerful gatherings that convene our community in purpose and pride. Each offering is a place to uplift truth, refuse silence, and through images and words, bear witness to our dignity and power. Despite brutality and life-limiting economic and social injustices made legal, some existing still, our foreparents clung fiercely to their humanity and envisioned ours. Our ancestral charge is to grow a future worthy of their centuries of sacrifice and dreams. The current climate of cruelty and chaos is designed to overwhelm us. Like many, I felt the weight of the world pressing against me. The public sorrows amplify the personal ones when we forget the truth. God is our unfailing partner. The Holy Spirit lives in us, is us. We are human and divine. We are God's beating heart and healing hands, vessels that the Creator inhibits to pour love into our aching, radiant world. We are here to unravel the tangle of pain and promise and reweave it into a fabric of healing hope. I've returned to Essence for this special 55th anniversary issue, not just to look back, but to also look forward. This moment is a mirror and a compass. We are not broken, lacking, or lost. These are trying times. We are carrying personal pain, collective pain, the weight of a government's overreach, pressing hardest upon the most vulnerable of all, Black children growing up in poverty. Pain reveals what we may have ignored, what needs tending, what we can transform. Pain comes to visit, but it's not here to stay. Let our pain shake us awake and compel us to use our power to choose to heal what is hurting us and our people. Let it awaken us to our power to walk forward with understanding, courage, and strategy. Each day, give yourself to yourself before you give yourself away. Peace, be still. Turn away from the screams for a few minutes. Go within, be with the silence and stillness, and you will hear the wisdom of the Spirit. Remembering our rituals is key. It is our duty to become our own best friend, to silence the punishing inner critic. It is our sacred assignment to honor the light within and work every day in partnership with God and one another. Let love lead the way. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Aver Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.